As we make preparations now to hear these words of Scripture for us from Mark's Gospel, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid, and a cloud came over them. And a voice spoke out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for it is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for the Gospel of Mark and all of the teachings of Jesus Christ, their claim upon our daily lives and living. Oh God, in these moments now that we share together, we pray that you would give us rest, comfort, and peace from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, oh God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Peter could have been the first paparazzi, slinking around there a little, peering at Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Oh, if he had only been prepared, that would have been a career breaker for him. The only problem is Peter didn't have a camera. He didn't have any film. He had nothing. And we probably can sympathize with Peter's predicament, because we've all been in a place where we just weren't prepared. But Peter would have done us all a big favor if somehow he could have been a little better prepared for this moment up on the mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, if there could just be a shrine built to immortalize this moment that had taken place. Can you imagine our grasp on history? What it would have suffered had we not had those 22nd seconds of film shot with that 8mm camera on November 22nd, 1963, the life and death of JFK. Or what about not having that grainy footage with that scratchy voice as Neil Armstrong took that one small step for man? Or imagine not having that LP of Tommy, the world's first rock opera. Kids are all going, LP? What about that recording, the LP of Who, that's now been redigitized and remastered on those compact discs, CDs? And if you have a copy of I Love Lucy on Betamax, kids are going, huh? You're out of luck. How about those 8 tracks of Tony Bennett? Again, the kids are going, huh? 8 tracks. And unless you have privilege to the Museum of Obsolete Machines, you won't have any way of listening to some of these items. But I have to admit, back in 04, when I had my first funeral, at a place in Johnsonburg, I go into that funeral home and I meet the undertakers for the first time, and I'm ushered back into the office to hang up my coat and to get some things a little prepared, and I'm hearing this music playing throughout the hallways in the visitation rooms. And I said, "Is that coming out of that machine?" The guy looked at me and said, "Yes, that's my dad." It was coming from an 8-track. I could not believe it that in 04 there was an 8-track that still worked, let alone the tape had not stretched. You know those days. It hurts, though, sometimes to think that that technology that we grew up with is becoming obsolete and no longer around. How in the world are we going to hang on to our history? As baby boomers are pushing more and more into retirement, they are cleaning out some of their closets that, well, there have been boxes in the corners that have been long forgotten. Decades of precious moments, those history of home movies, those 8mm cameras, the Super 8, the camcorder, the Super Cam, the digital camcorder, the MX Pro mixer with FireWire technology, and now we must admit all of that takes place on these very quickly, very efficiently. But as some of those boxes are being uncovered and some of the generations are watching that information, we're realizing that there were individuals that they documented Christmas and birthdays pretty well. Clearly, parents, today's parents, are following in the footsteps of their grandparents and parents themselves, as some of this information is being documented actually from fetus to all the way. But because technology is becoming less and less expensive to document this, well, today's parents are capturing even those not so important moments as well. Little Amber eating French fries, sitting on a wagon, banging on the piano, digging in the dirt, rolling in the leaves, playing with the telephone, wearing a hat, smelling a flower, holding a book, watching TV, singing a song, throwing a ball, kicking a ball, sitting on a ball, dropping a ball. Oh, good Lord, you know it. And some of these families have thousands of minutes of their children, thousands of still photographs. Perhaps their children are only 6 years old. Can you say overexposure? What's going to happen when these children get older and they have case after case after case of stuff to go through? But we have to admit, sometimes we are losing history. Can you imagine how history would be if President Kennedy rode through Dallas today? There would be hundreds of thousands of pictures and videotapes for the government to go through if such an event happened today, because everybody would be capturing it upon their cell phones. We have the ability to preserve so much history and every special moment today, and yet, armed with these cell phones and cameras, are we not really missing the moment when we think we are capturing it? Peter, understandably, was awestruck. It was to be a quiet time away, a little retreat with two other disciples and Jesus. But an extraordinary event was unfolding that's been recorded in the scriptures forever. A moment so sacred that vice president in charge of doing something, Peter, had to come up with something. Jesus, do you want us to pitch a tent? Do you want us to build a building, to put a booth up here? What can we do? Oh, we're not told how Peter was going to do this. We don't know whether he had a hammer and a saw in his back pocket. We don't know whether maybe he had a fisherman's tool belt around him. But we do know that Peter, most of the time, engaged his mouth before his brain and was not really sure how things were going to come about. But suddenly, in the midst of it all, there's a cloud that comes and overshadows them. And before Peter can throw anything together, there's a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. God didn't say, oh, go over there by that tree, the three of you stand and let's take a picture and get a shot of this. He didn't say, be sure to capture the moment. God simply said, listen to him. My voice is a little raspy today because I was in Edinburgh yesterday for a track meet. It was inside, thankfully. But it's interesting, there are some days where I'm told, David, I don't know why you're cheering Abigail or some of these other kids on. There are 1,000 people yelling. They can't hear you. Yet, you know, it's fascinating. Abigail will say, one of the track meets we went to, Andrew was standing on another corner and she was running, and it was a big stadium and thousands of people cheering. And she was coming around the corner. Abigail made contact with Andrew's eyes, and Andrew looked at her and in a calm, still voice said, Abigail, run. And she heard him. She heard him. That small voice out of 1,000 voices, she heard them. And some of those kids will say to me today, and they'll say to Abigail, Abigail, can you hear your dad when he's cheering you on? And she says, yeah, I can hear my dad. And some of those kids say, you know, I can hear your dad's voice as well. Out of all those other voices, I can hear your dad cheering. You know, my friends, that's the way it is in all of the midst of the noise. We've got that still small voice in Jesus Christ when God says, listen to him. Now, you know, if you look in the mirror every morning or every evening before you go to bed, you'll see something fascinating. We've got 2 ears and 1 mouth. Someone jokingly said we need to listen twice as often as we speak. Oh, don't you wish sometimes that were true? Oh, shouldn't have said that. Should have been listening. Or sometimes someone will say something and you go, wish you were listening. Wish you hadn't said that. Listen twice as often as we speak. And we need to listen and hear then Jesus Christ. Oh, it's easy to be distracted. We've got tons of distractions from little earplugs that go in our ears to all of the noise of stadiums, to the noise of instruments and crowds and other people. But in the midst of it all, it can be hard to hear. But if you remember anything from today, remember that on that mountain of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, in the midst of not knowing what to do, those disciples were told, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him. Let us pray. Gracious God, in the midst of daily life and living and all of the noise and the pushing and the shoving of all of the voices, may we hear this one. May we listen to your son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.